Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place. Good morning, fine audience, and welcome back to another edition of Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilbor, Carol Pesci, and myself. I am Frankenberry, and I hope everyone out there is doing well, and you ladies are also doing well.
Fabulous.
Just noticed something.
What's that?
I'm doing fabulous, too. You guys... All right, Frankenberry, as everybody knows, we're on a Zoom together when we do this show. And your little icon is a K104 icon, yes. Right? Because we're just audio only, and that's fine. And now Carol's icon is a beautiful picture of the cover of her latest book, Hello Beautiful. And yep. My icon is two fat oblong dots, one in the shape of a head, the other in the shape of a shoulder. And I could have swore that I uploaded a picture, but apparently, is there any icon for me on your end?
No, you're two blobs.
I'm two blobs. No, nope. Okay.
Good. On my end, it just says Jonna's iPhone.
And two okay. blobs.
And two blobs.
What do you mean two blobs?
Oh, she doesn't see the little simple symbol. He doesn't see the simple symbol for a human.
Yeah, which is a blob head and blob shoulder. Okay. But I could have sworn.
I just did mine last week. I'm like, it's silly to not have that. We have guests every week and every little bit you put out there, right?
Exactly. No reason not to point it out.
No, exactly. And I'm two blobs. You know, hashtag two blobs.
No, I'm a Spilbor two blobs.
That's right. And we won't read anything into that.
That sounds like it'd be your rap name or something.
Yeah, right. My porn name, two blobs.
See, and I just said we weren't going to read anything into that.
Sorry.
Oh, boy.
Okay, that's not what I wanted to talk about today. I just noticed it because it bugged me last week too, and I forgot. A couple of things that are actually related, but they're not going to seem like they are. So, first of all, I would like to let our listeners know that last week, Curly and our good friend Jeannie Kelly, who we mention at least one time per show, and I all got together for a nice little gathering at my post-renovated house and had a very good time. Did we not, Curly?
It was fantastic on many levels, and I'm already laughing, recalling my stunt for the evening.
Thanks for the reminder. Maybe we should let the audience in on that, shall we?
To ask that you do so.
Who's going to tell it? I'll tell it.
Okay.
And you can add. Okay. So, first of all, Jonna's renovations are phenomenal. Her place looks amazing. And it was really, really good to see the both of you in person. It's been a long time. And yes. So, it was wonderful. So when you walk in Jonna's front door, first door is laundry room. Second door on the right is her downstairs bathroom. And it used to be a pocket door that would slide right into the wall. Mm-hmm. So we're having a good time. And I didn't drink a ton. None of us did. Just sipping on wine. And we all got dropped off and picked up and all that. So we come inside, we're all sitting at the island having our wonderful snacks. And thanks to Mama Nance for the pizza and the mac and cheese and to Jeannie's husband, Vito, for the nice charcuterie tray that he put together for us. And I got to go pee. So I go over to said downstairs bathroom. I open the door. I go in. I do what I got to do, wash my hands. I turn around and I try to slide the door to the left and it's stuck. It will not slide to the left. Like, oh man, I feel like an idiot. And I start messing with the lock a little bit, like jiggling it, still not working. And I start yelling, I'm stuck. When something inside of me said, well, just, it's one of those kind of lever handles. Let me just push down on this and see what happens. I pushed down and the door swung open. And I looked across to the island where these two biatches had not moved to offer me one bit of help. And I said, didn't this used to be a pocket door? So, mind you, I swung it open to get in.
Uh-huh.
And had lost sight of that fact between the doing my business, washing my hands, and turning around. And I tried to slide what was no longer a pocket door into the wall. Oh, my God.
Now, let me tell you the story from our perspective.
From the other side of the door. There's the title of the story.
I was from the other side of the door. Because here,
Go ahead.
And we were all crying eventually. But here's from my and Jeannie's perspective. Now, in the new reno, you can now see from the kitchen straight through to the wall where that bathroom door is on. It's, you know, you can see it. So so when Carol excused herself to go use the restroom, now she, you know, walks across the house. She, as she pointed out, she grabs the handle of the newly renovated bathroom door, which is no longer a pocket door.
Yep. Swung it open.
Swings it open. Yep. Sachets inside. Shuts the door.
True.
Now, a very short while later, Jeannie and I are just yakking and gabbing and gossiping. And all of a sudden, we look at each other because we hear a muffled tone coming from that bathroom. And it sounded like, it sounded something like this, like, help me. Like
I'm stuck
in here. So we look at each other and we just sort
did
of
nothing. Tilt
our heads.
Yes. Did nothing.
Well, because we figured she must be messing with us because there's no way she could be stuck in there. There's nothing to get stuck on. So the next thing we know, before we can even decide to get up and investigate, she comes flying out the bathroom door because she wasn't expecting the door to actually swing open, even though she had opened it just a few minutes earlier. She comes flying out, and then she realizes the error of her way, falls to the floor, and starts laughing uncontrollably. And that's when we figured out she wasn't joking. She was actually calling for help. And then we fell down and started laughing too.
All right. So sometime between the swinging of that clothes behind you, the sitting down, doing business, washing hands, you completely forgot that it was a door that swings open.
Yes.
Nice.
This is my point.
Very nicely done.
I know. But so, and here's where I want to say you're welcome, because when was the last time you laughed so hard you were crying?
I don't know. My abs still hurt.
Oh, Jesus. From
the workout. That was hilarious. And as she correctly pointed out, we weren't even that drunk. Like, we were just a couple glasses of wine in, and it was just, it was hilarious.
Well, you know what that makes me think of? And I don't know if I've told you guys this story before, but back in 2000, when my brother and sister and I all happened to be moving back to New York, we thought, well, you know what? Why don't we get a house together and save some money? So we did that. We all moved in together. And when we were first moving into the first place that we rented for like a year before my sister bought a house, I was helping her put her bed together. And now my sister has a monstrous bed, and it's got these, it's got these monstrous slats for underneath. Mm-hmm. And my mom and my sister and my brother and my young nephew were all in the kitchen, and the stairs to the basement right next to the kitchen door. It's like kitchen door, stairs to the basement door. And as I'm walking down the steps, I go down, I grab the slats, a couple of the big slats, and I start bringing them upstairs. One of them hits the door frame at the top of the steps, starts pushing me backwards. I somehow, luckily, did not fall down the stairs backwards. I was able to kind of spin myself, and I ended up with my right heel hitting every single step on the way down with that heel until it was black and blue for like a month.
Oh,
what?
And it was loud. And I dropped backwards? One of the slats. And do you know how many people came to the top of the stairs to check on me?
Not a single one.
They were just still sitting at the kitchen table when I went upstairs.
Frank Berry, I feel your pain.
Yep.
Well, yep. Wait a minute.
I was panicking and I got no support. None.
It's too funny. You know, because it was even funnier than, you know how people have a tendency to laugh, like if you've ever seen somebody walk into a sliding glass door.
I saw that in college once. We had a, there was a guy one time, we were all sitting in the Buell Hall lobby, and that was the basically the English building, and there the doors between, there was like three sets double doors, and there was a single pane of glass between each set of double doors, but it wasn't you know, wasn't one of those what do you call that glass, Jonna, that has wire in it that you can actually see the wire?
Oh, yeah.
Reinforced or something like that. Whatever it was clear glass. And we actually watched some dude walk through one of those panes one day because he picked the wrong thing. Because he didn't pick the door. He just walked straight through it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
now I have knocked a screen door off its hinges by walking into it. You know, like if you do
that. Wait a minute. I saw that. No, wait. I was there one time when you walked into the screen on your deck.
Yeah, so I've done it multiple times. At least that time, I don't think it came off the track.
No,
I've done it before where I literally didn't see anything, and it came flying off the track. Yeah, done that, been there, done that. But who hasn't really?
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many times I've accidentally walked through the screen and knocked it off the track at your place. Especially that one in New York City would almost flip me off the balcony. So, yeah.
Well, you just got to watch out for that downstairs bathroom door. That's all. Did your mother say anything to you, Jonna? Because I texted her, too, to thank her for the food and how beautiful the renos were. But I disagreed with your decision to remove the pocket door.
She just told me that you texted her to thank her for the pizza. She was, you know, just so thrilled. I'm sure she wanted to be a part of that party, but. You know, she goes to bed at 6 p.m. But now that party led me to. So there's just one other thing that I wanted to talk about. The party was wonderful. It was so good to see you girls. And it was just a great night. But if you'll also recall, Carol, before you were locking yourself in a bathroom that wasn't locked. I think I told you guys that I kind of got into this post-renovation. I got into buying some special old vintage glass. And so I bought some pink depression.
Oh, they're gorgeous. Yeah.
Champagne coupes. And I'm getting all this, you know, it's not the only vintage stuff. I've been buying vintage stuff here and there, and I've been getting it from like Etsy, except one piece I got off eBay. Well, I have not shopped on eBay in years and years. In fact, it's been so long since I've shopped on eBay. I think I can't even remember the email address I had when I signed up. It has to be a good like 15 years ago, but I digress. So anyway, I shopped for one thing on eBay, and lo and behold, 2 weeks go by. Yesterday, I get an email from eBay, and eBay is telling me that my account's been compromised and I need to change my password and blah, blah, blah. Now, in this day and age, this kind of crap happens all the time with your credit cards and what have you. So I didn't think much of it. And first, I made sure that it wasn't a spam email. And long story short, I go onto my eBay account to update my password just to be safe. And I can't get on. I can't get on because eBay has locked me out.
Oh, they locked you out.
Now, here's the kicker, you guys, and this has me kind of up at night now. So they lock me out, and in order to get back in, they're going to send a code to my phone, and they're going to send a code to my email, as is usually done in these types of situations. So when I go to have them send the code to my email and my phone, it auto-populates an email address and a phone number, and it blocks out some of the information so that, you know, you can't see the whole thing. And neither one of those, not the email address and not the phone number, belong to me. So whoever hacked my account got far enough where they changed my email address to one that they controlled, and they changed the cell phone number to one that they controlled so that the login, whatever, password would go to them. So now, so here's the thing. Here's the PSA that my long story is about. You cannot get a hold of eBay in this situation. It's impossible. There's no phone that actually is answered by a live person. Even I chatted with a person for eBay. They can't fix it via chat. You've got to call them and you've got to talk to somebody. But when you call them, you will never get a live person to pick up the phone if you're lucky enough to get the phone number. So now I'm like, all right, somebody, so I can't ever shop on eBay again because I can't get in. But how worried should I be that any credit card that I've used, and again, I mean, I only recently shopped on there, is going to be covered. Like, this is ridiculous. If you're going to be a company like that, and a lot of people use eBay, you got to have customer service where you is actually customer service.
Right.
Oh, I'm with you. I'm with you there. I can't stand spots that only allow you to possibly, you know, chat.
And right.
That's the best you get. You know, you're not going to get a phone call or phone number to call and a person to talk to ever.
Or you do get a phone number and it's completely automated. And I'm that person that you see on the commercial. It's like customer service. Customer service.
Exactly.
Representative. So, John, I would cancel the credit card you had associated with that. I mean, you can set up a new eBay account, you know, with a different email address, but...
I got to figure out what credit card.
I was just going to say, can you meet
me? Yeah.
Because it's been so long.
You know, and I did make a recent purchase, so I guess I could maybe try to find the receipt and see what credit card I used for that. Now, my credit cards are usually pretty good about alerting me to fraud, but this is just, this chaps my butt. Because this somebody had to sit down and take a lot of time to hack my account, change emails, change phone numbers to try to use my credit information to buy whatever they were going to buy. And you know you're going to be caught, people.
I'm sure they're already shopping. So I don't know. I think you need more tools to figure out how to ask for what you want and get it. That's what you need.
Boom. You know, folks, every week. And here's the thing. I just want our audience to know this. Like, I know you think her sagoos are so fantastic that she must plan and rehearse them and sit down and sweat and figure out how she's going to get it in and all that. No. Because she doesn't know what we're going to be talking about one moment to the next. We don't know what we're going to be talking about.
This is true.
Exactly.
Right. So this is what she does. She's a master. She sees an opening and boom, she just goes in.
I got to get boom.
You got to get you got to get.
You're good. No.
That's right.
Oh God. Donna, you cracked yourself
the perfect
up.
Offensive lineman that opened up a hole for Carol to squeak right through.
And I didn't even
better that than a pocket door. I can crawl through a hole, but I can't get through a swing door.
That's right. Oh, dear Lordy. All right.
So who are we talking to today?
But with that, another amazing, awesome Sagu, we have a repeat guest on today. And she's not just a guest. She's actually my very good friend. She's also a friend of Carol's now, too, because we got everybody together not that long ago, pre-pandemic. And we're going to be speaking with good friend of mine, author, motivational speaker, podcaster, former lawyer. Well, she's still a lawyer. She just doesn't practice. Heather Hansen. Now, you might know her. She used to be on Fox with me a lot. She's a longtime trial attorney, but she's just written and published her second book called Advocate to Win, 10 Tools to Ask for What You Want and Get It. Hence, Carol's awesome Sagu.
And she happens to be a cool chick and we love her. So that always helps.
She is a really cool chick, and I read and consumed her first book, which I loved, which was The Elegant Warrior. So this is kind of like a sequel to that. But sidebar, I haven't read this one yet, so I'm very much looking forward to her telling us a little bit about what's in between the front cover and the back cover when we come back from the break with Heather Hansen.
All right, that sounds good. And we'll find out from Heather if she calls herself a recovering lawyer. That is on the way. Next, you've got John Spilbore and Carol Pesci. This is Happy Hour, and we have Heather Hansen in our second segment on the way. So please, stick around.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with John and Carol.
And welcome back again to Happy Hour here. You're listening to 92.9, 96.5 WBPM with John Spilbore and Carol Pesci. And segment number two, as always, is one of our illustrious guests. And Jonna, take it away.
Yes, illustrious is a good word. And I'm going to go off script here for a minute just to remind our audience. We have on the line with us Heather Hansen. Now, in full disclosure, she's a very good friend of mine. I miss her very much because during the pandemic, she did move away from New York, but I understand she's going to be coming back to be a lot closer very soon. But during the pandemic, she didn't just sit on her hands. She wasn't picking her nose. She wasn't getting stuck in bathrooms. No. Not my friend Heather. She was busy writing yet another book and working on her business. So now I'll go back on script and let you know that Heather Hansen knows how to communicate to win. She's communicated her way to success as a lawyer, an advocate, a counselor, a mediator, and a TV host. Heather draws upon her personal experiences in the courtroom and in life, as well as her psychology degree, because she's a slacker, her training as a mediator, and the most current research to lead participants to their best communication practices. Now, she is the author of two books. The first one we all loved, that was called The Elegant Warrior, How to Win Life's Trials Without Losing Yourself. And now she's written what I think is going to be a follow-up to The Elegant Warrior. And it's a book entitled Advocate to Win, 10 Tools to Ask for What You Want and Get It. And I can't wait to hear all about this book. Heather, my friend, welcome to the show.
I am so happy to be on with you guys. What a beautiful introduction. I miss you too, Jonna, and I will be closer very soon.
Yay. You're heading back up this way, Heather?
I'm headed to Philadelphia. I'm going to on Sex and the City, they called it a hop, skip, and a train ride away.
Exactly. It's not far at all. So listen, I have to tell you, full disclosure, I have not yet read your latest book. I know The Elegant Warrior, I read actually a couple times and absolutely loved it. What I did do is I went on to get the audio version of it. I didn't find that yet. Yeah.
It's coming in June. So I actually was just going to say that because I know you love the audiobooks as well. The audio version, I recorded it. And because of the pandemic, there was a bit of a delay, but it is coming available, I believe, like June 25th, the end of the month.
Oh, yay. I can't wait. All right. So that's when I'll get to really, really enjoy it. But you have to tell us, Heather, like I loved The Elegant Warrior. You know that. You have a podcast of the same name. And it was a really useful book. What is the difference now between The Elegant Warrior and your latest, Advocate to Win?
So this book, guys, is very prescriptive. It specifically tells you how to become your own best advocate. The Elegant Warrior had some great stories, and you could apply the stories from the courtroom to your life. This truly tells you how to ask for what you want and get it. So it gives you the 10 tools, as mentioned in the title, and they're tools like words, questions, evidence, presentation, reception, negotiation, all of these tools that, you know, Johnny, you well know, we use when we advocate in the courtroom, but you can also use when you're asking for more resources, more money, better boundaries, help, anything that you want. You can use these tools to ask for them in a way that makes it most likely that you'll get them.
So it's kind of like an actual how-to.
That's exactly right. Since writing The Elegant Warrior, my career has truly shifted. And during COVID especially, I was doing a lot of one-on-one coaching, primarily with women, though I do coach men as well, on how to advocate for what you want and get it. And so Advocate to Win has the tools that I've shared with my clients and also stories of my clients and how they've used those tools to get things like raises and resources and more help from their partner and all of the things that you might want and need. So they were helpful to my clients to such a degree and changing their lives to such a degree that I wanted to share them on a broader stage.
Well, Heather, and I've started to read your book and I am loving what I'm reading so far. You also come clean, so to speak, and talk about your personal experience about how successful you have been as a trial attorney and how often you're able to get wins for other people. But you talked about in your personal life where you found yourself frustrated, that you didn't live where you wanted to, you weren't doing what you wanted to. And you kept ending every section with, but I didn't ask for it, yeah. But I didn't ask for it. And how you realized that's the beginning point for you, if you wanted things to change, was I got to start asking for what I want for myself, because you're so good at for other people. But you had personal experience with this.
Carol, you couldn't be more right. And the thing is, women are notoriously bad at this. There's all kinds of studies. HBR, Harvard Business Review, has a really good study on this. Women are really good at advocating for other people. Yes. And not for themselves. And I was terrible at asking for what I wanted. I would, you know, I think that oftentimes we think we've asked by being sort of snotty or dropping hints or giving other people what we want, thinking that they'll return the favor. But if you haven't said it out loud to the person who can give it to you, then you haven't truly started advocating for yourself. And I hadn't. And as a result, I wasn't getting any of the things that I wanted. And so I had to really start to use the tools that I had used for my clients in the courtroom all those years and start using them for myself. And then everything just took off for me. And so, again, that was another reason that I knew I had to share these tools.
And something else that – I'm sorry, Johnna, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's such a great analogy to use the courtroom setting and the being an advocate and being an attorney setting – and applying it to everyday situations, I think, is just brilliant.
Well, everybody has their jury, right? Like right now, you guys who are listening, you are our jury. You know, you are choosing whether to keep us on or turn us off, right? You're choosing whether to buy the book. And so you need to know who your jury is so that you can then craft the right questions and create the right evidence and use the right words that will resonate with your jury. But the other thing that I talk about in this book that I think is really important is your inner jury. And that's where things begin. And your inner jury, everyone thinks when I talk about the inner jury that it's the part of them that is critical. You know, that negative voice inside that says, you can't do it, you're too old, you're too fat, you're too young, you're too dumb, whatever. That's not your inner jury. That is the nasty attorney in your head. Your inner jury is the part of you that listens and chooses. And so your job is to give the other side, the side that argues for faith and abundance and confidence and ability and risk, you need to give that attorney a voice so that your inner jury has the option to make better choices. And so all of the tools that we've talked about, the 10 tools of an advocate, all of those can be applied to your inner jury as well. And I think that, you know, as you well know, Johnny, you can't advocate until you believe. You've got to believe your case before you put it forward. And so often the work that we do with our inner jury is the most important work.
Well, that's a point I was going to make just a minute ago too, that really, and I highlighted the line. It's probably going to end up on my Instagram pretty soon. and it sounds so basic, but I read it and I stopped. You say the first step to getting what you want is being willing to want it.
Yes.
And what I get from that, and I went through a very similar situation where you, very successful attorney, you're on national television, and you sit back one morning and realize, I don't want this. I want something different than this. And then your part of your jury or one of your attorneys steps up within your inner jury and says, who are you to want this?
Yep.
You have so much.
Yep.
Hmm. And so is that what you're talking about there, where it's, you got to be willing to want it?
Yeah, you have to be willing to believe that you can want it, you know. And again, this book is meant for men as well. I talk to a lot of men who struggle with this, but there's something called the entitlement gap, where some people feel that they're entitled to everything that they want and other people don't. And you are, you know, you are allowed to want something different. You're allowed to want more. You're allowed to want better, even if what you have is very good. You know, I believe that we're here to self-actualize and to always be reaching for more and better. And I had to realize that it was okay to want it. Listen, you know, stepping away from my law practice, I was an equity partner and had a really great reputation, all of the things that I had built so long. And that was hard for some people in my life, you know, to see that I didn't want that anymore. But I had to be willing to want and to admit that I wanted it and to start asking for it before I could get it. And now my business is booming and the book came out and, you know, things are going really well, but it takes being willing to admit that you want it and then start asking.
Heather, you raised something really interesting and that resonates with me and probably a lot of people who would be interested in doing the same thing you did, only, you know, with a different career point. And that is leaving one career for another, which is just scary even thinking about it, because, you know, you could be coming from like you and like me, like anybody, you could be coming from a career that pays the bills, that you're good at, that you've been doing for a long time, that's comfortable enough, even though you might, you know, hate Mondays or whatever. And then to follow your heart's desire can be a scary thing, which is why I think a lot of people don't do it. How do you counsel people in that space, in that I'm too scared to do it, but I really want to do it?
Well, I think that what we have to do in those situations is build up the belief that you can. You know, so many people that come to me for coaching don't believe that they can do this other thing, or that they can be as successful, or that they can live on less money. You know, success doesn't necessarily mean the money. It might be a happy life, a more fulfilled life, doing something you're passionate about. And so we have got to, you know, when people start coaching with me, I send them evidence journals and I ask them to start collecting evidence of their skills and their resilience and their strength and their talents and their capabilities, and writing them down, so that when you have those moments of doubt and the inner attorney in your head that argues for no is arguing, you have something to counter it with, that yes, I am good at this job, but I started from the bottom and I worked my way up, and I can do the same thing in another role. And though I may not have the exact skills that someone in that role has, or though I may not know exactly what to do, these are all the times that I've done something similar, that I have been able to succeed when I didn't know what to do. And I think that, you know, I always say you can't advocate until you believe. You have got to really believe in yourself and your ability to do this other thing before you start doing it. And that's just a matter of, you know, belief is just a thought that you repeat and back up with evidence. So collect your evidence every single day. I mean, I really encourage my clients to every day write down at least 3 pieces of evidence from that day that they can look back on in those moments of doubt.
What was your favorite chapter to write in this book?
It's so funny because, you know, it goes back and forth. I do believe, I have two. Questions are one of the tools of an advocate. And I think that that chapter was fun for me to write because so many people don't recognize the power of questions. And questions are magic. You know, yes. Jonna, people always say to me, I should have been a trial attorney. I'm really good at arguing. And that's nice. But the truth is, we're not allowed to argue that much. You know, the beginning of our case, the opening is a statement. The end of the trial, we give a closing argument. But that's like, you know, a small fraction of the trial. The majority of the case, the way that we build our case is with questions. On direct examination, to make connections and to show compassion and to, you know, help the jury to understand. And then on cross-examination, to challenge and strike down and maybe even embarrass. And you can do all of that with questions. You know, there's a reason that argument is the last tool in the book. It should be the last resort of an advocate. And questions are the way that you can really get there without having to resort to argument. So that tool was fun to share because so many people are surprised by it. But the tool that, so in my work, I do a lot of training for corporations, training their teams on how to become better advocates for themselves and each other. And I share the 5 C's of an advocate, which are also in this book, and they are connection, compassion, creativity, curiosity, and credibility. So credibility is the only one that's repeated twice. It's one of the 5 C's. It's also one of the chapters of the book, because belief in yourself and then helping others to believe in you is one of the most important ways to actually get what you want. So for me, that chapter, showing how you can believe in yourself and persuade your inner jury to do so, and then how to persuade your outer jury of clients, customers, friends, family, bosses, how to believe in you and to believe you, that chapter was a lot of fun to write.
This is actually genius. I got to squeeze in a quick personal story that you just reminded me of that I wasn't planning to talk about before we go. And it involves you and it involves Carol. And here's the quick personal story. There was a time you and I, Heather, were, I don't know where we were having brunch or drinks or something in Manhattan. And I think I was probably talking to you about some boyfriend difficulty or what have you. And you did not give me advice. You asked me several questions. Now, what I didn't tell you at the time is after our drinks that day, I said to myself, that really helped me. Like asking those questions or answering those questions really helped me get a different perspective. And I made a mental note. And now when I have an issue, I ask myself, I was just going to swear. Sorry, Frank. So now rewind to when I first met Carol and she had written her first book, Happy Bitch, and Carol and I, you know, struck up a friendship. I credit Carol with being the reason why I am a nicer person. Like she actually helped me be kinder and nicer and more accepting of other people, especially other women. I credit her with that. And I credit you with teaching me without knowing you taught me how questions can be so helpful.
Wow. First of all, to be in Carol's company, because I love her books as well. And I think it's fabulous, but I think questions, you know, they are such a phenomenal way to make connections, and they're such a phenomenal way to help people come to their own conclusions. And I love, Jonna, that you said that you ask yourself questions. I mean, that's another thing I encourage my clients to do at the beginning of the day. What are three questions you want to have answered today? And then at the end of the day, because what you focus on grows, right? So if you focus on finding those answers, you just might find them in that day. And it really gets you in the practice of being more curious, which is another one of those five C's I mentioned.
And questions are like the birthplace. They're so powerful. They're what you draw on something. You're asking for something, whether that's wisdom within or for something greater or for someone outside of you. This is exactly what I talked about in my first book. Is I initially went through when I found out my ex had an affair and I was crushed by it. And the questions I was asking myself, Heather, were, what did I do wrong? What's wrong with me? It's a great place to start, right? Because I got plenty of stuff to back all that up. Until I started asking, okay, what now? What's next? What do I want? That was the birthplace of everything, are the questions we ask. And that skill alone, that's got to be incredibly gratifying. I mean, look, you've already changed Jonna's life just by opening someone's eyes to the power of questions and how to ask them better and more powerfully.
You make such a great point that the questions that we ask matter, right? So one of the stories you guys might remember from The Elegant Warrior, and it's so funny because I always say The Elegant Warrior, much of its popularity is due not to me, but to Judge Rosemary Aquilina, because I tell her story in that first book and how she was the judge in the Larry Nassar case. And she said to each of the women who came forward, she asked them a question, but the question she asked changed everything. She said, "Tell me what you want me to know." And that question was so powerful. And people wrote to me about that in the book, and they've told me how it's changed their lives. So I had to go back to Judge Aquilina for this book, of course, right? Because I had to get her input. And again, she gave me something that I hadn't thought of this way that has changed my life. She doesn't like questions that begin with why. And I know, you know, we've got Simon Sinek and Start With Why, and I don't necessarily take issue with any of that. But Judge Aquilina's point is, and remember, she comes from a place where she listens to a lot of sexual assault cases. And so she thinks why puts people on the defense. Like, why were you out late at night? Why did you have so much to drink? Why were you wearing such a short skirt? And when I thought about it, I was like, you know, why can be make you defensive? You know, why are you home so late? Why did you gain that weight? People very rarely say, why did you lose weight? They say, how did you lose weight? And so just remembering that the questions you ask, Carol, like, you know, for you, those questions, the difference between that first set of questions and the second set of questions is where your life changed. Yep. And so knowing the right questions, you know, it's funny because people come to me for two reasons. Either they never ask, sort of like I was, they never ask for what they want, or they do ask, but they're not getting it. And for those people, it's honing in on what questions are you asking and how are you asking? What tone of voice are you using? Mm-hmm. Because that also is going to impact the outcome.
This is all, we could talk to you forever. I cannot wait until the audio version of this book drops later on this month. The book is newly out. It's called Advocate to Win, 10 Tools to Ask for What You Want and Get It by my good friend, our good friend, Heather Hansen. Heather, I know there's a million ways that people can connect with you, and you are so good with your social. I love your social media. It's just so open and honest. And I love, and one of the, just going back real quick to the question thing, I think one of your recent posts really resonated with me. I screenshot it. It was something like, if you want to raise, don't ask the universe, ask your boss. Like,
That's from the book. That's from the book. You know, the universe gave you your boss to ask that question for the raise. Yeah. It's that's part of the book. And you can find me. My Instagram is @I am Heather Hansen with an EN. And you can find all things about the book and the update on the audiobook and everything else at my website, which is advocatetowin.com. And if you want to reach me, you can email me anytime, heather@advocatetowin.com.
That's right. And it's Heather Hansen with an E, Hansen. Yep. Heather, always good to talk to you. I can't wait to see you in person. And I can't wait till you're back, you know, closer to home, right? It'll always be home.
I will be there often, and I can't wait till the next time we get brunch and ask each other some questions.
Thank you. Like, when is my next drink coming?
I know. That's the
How
first
question.
How do
I get question. Out of this bathroom?
Exactly. That's a good house.
I tell you, I start most of my days with questions. Now, most of them run along the lines of, are the glasses you can't find on the top of your head and are you wearing pants? Start my day in the right way.
Helpful. Those are helpful questions, Frankenberry.
That's right.
They are. Well, Heather, listen, thank you so much. We appreciate you joining us again and ever enlightening as always. And we've still got more from Happy Hour. It's on the way. Segment number 3 is coming up with Jonas Spilbore and Carol Pesci. So please stick around.
Live better, laugh harder, love more. This is Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol on 92.9 WBPM.
And welcome back one more time to Happy Hour here on 92.9, 96.5 WBPM with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello,
Frankenberry.
Woo, woo.
Sorry. You know what it is? Every week it's not quite on, and every week Jonna goes, woo, woo.
Nailed it. Oh, gosh. I miss the in-studio days when we could time that so beautifully. Oh, so Heather was fantastic.
Really. Yeah, as usual. I can't wait to dig into this book.
Yeah, I started to read it on Kindle. It's really good. And I think it's so important because I think it's easy enough to stay unhappy and comfortable, right? Yeah. You may say, I don't like where I am or who I am or what my circumstances are, but I'm spending more time complaining about that than figuring out how to ask for and get what I want from my own internal journey, from a jury, from the jury, the outer jury. And I think what could build someone's self-confidence more than learning how to speak up and advocate for themselves with their own internal and their external journey?
And part of the genius of Heather is that she does it in a way that anybody can do this. You don't need a psychology degree. You don't need to take
right.
You can read and understand and apply. And that's just a beautiful thing. And she's so, so good at that. So I'm glad we got to talk to her today. Can't wait to talk to her again. But now we have a special.
Yeah, speaking of beautiful things. So we have a little bit of a treat for you this morning. We have an extra bonus guest that we wanted to give some love and air time to. She's physically beautiful. She's talented. And she is a good friend of my and Jonna's dear friend, Amy Gopel. So we have someone with us who is a up-and-coming local celeb. Her name is Rachel Berkman, and I'm going to have her join us and tell you a little bit about herself. So, Rachel, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much, and thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Love it. So tell me, you came to us through a mutual friend.
Yeah.
Tell us your story. Where are you from, first of all?
So I'm from locally. So I'm from Middletown, New York, so Orange County, and I grew up here, and I actually still keep a lot of connections locally too, but I ended up going to college in Philly. So I was living in Philly for about 5 years. I moved to Brooklyn a month before the pandemic.
Oh,
I had fantastic timing with moving to the city. But yeah, so, and I actually still, I still do performances and gig in the Hudson Valley area too. So I still keep local connections as well.
But so yeah. You're a talented singer. Tell us your best. So how long have you been singing?
Oh my, I've been singing since I was like a very little girl, like technically. But I started professionally like getting voice lessons when I was 10. And through doing plays, it kind of started with musical theater and, singing, and I was like a theater kid in high school. And so I started realizing over time how actually important it was to me and how I actually looked at it like a lot more seriously. And it kind of like started a real love for it and started me to realize that that's what I wanted to do as my career. But it really started from theater.
Mm-hmm. And then didn't you have a lot of doors were opening right before the pandemic basically shut Manhattan down?
Yes, I had like a lot of other artists. I had like my whole summer booked, and I had a show at the Bloomsburg Theater, which is in Pennsylvania. It was a show called Luna Gale. and it got canceled. Oh, they all canceled. But that's what actually, it's funny because the pandemic was a terrible, terrible thing for so many people and for, you know, my family and lots of families all over the world. But it was a lot of downtime to be able to kind of work on things that you never got the chance to before.
It's funny how things play out that way when you sit back, instead of fighting against the reality of what is, start saying, okay, what can I do? Again, here we go back to, we just had a whole topic of asking the right questions. Right. So you have this, and congratulations, this is very exciting. I think just 2 days ago or so, on the 18th, you released your very first single, right?
Yes. So on the 18th, I released the single, and I hope everyone loves it. I put so much.
What's the name of the single? And did you write it?
Yes, I wrote it, and it's called "By My Side." I wrote it. I thought of all like the melodies and how the music would go, and then I brought it to a producer and an engineer, and they put it all together for me. And I worked with different musicians. Some of them I've been working with for a really long time. Some of them are like from Mexico and Argentina. So it was a really collaborative process too.
All right. So what I'd love to do, Frankenberry, can we cue up her new single and play that? And then after that's done, I want to make sure if people love it, which I'm sure they will, because I'm in love with it, where they can download the single and learn more about you. So Frankenberry, do we have that? Can you play that?
We certainly can. We can do that right now.
When you're running through my mind, feeling hazy cause your lips gone touch mine, yeah. I feel you by my side. Stay another day to make me feel alive. And baby, 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 by my side, I need you. This way, knowing that you lie, but I can't move my feet when I don't have you by my side. By my side, intoxicated when you're running through my mind, feeling hazy cause your lips gone touch mine. Yeah. I feel you by my side, stay another day to make me feel alive.
So am I right or am I right? Was that not beautiful?
That was beautiful. And I can't, you're so talented. I can't believe you wrote that.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Your voice is phenomenal, Rachel. The song itself is beautiful. Now, if somebody just listened to you and wants to talk to you or wants to download their music, your music, how can they do that? How can they connect with you?
Yeah, so they can obviously get it on Spotify or Apple Music, any streaming platforms that you use to listen to your music. It's going to be on all platforms. And if you want to follow along with my journey, you can follow me on Instagram, which is Rachel Leah. So Rachel and then LEEYAXX. And my website, which is just my full name. So rachelberkman.com. But I hope you guys really enjoy it. Thank you so much.
And again, the song, the name of the song, By My Side, right?
Yep, By My Side.
And Rachel Berkman, it's R-A-C-H-E-L. Berkman. Mm-hmm. I wish you so much luck, Rachel. You're so talented, and I just can't wait to see what's going to unfold for you.
Thank you.
Best of luck.
Thank you.
Yes, and thanks so much for joining us here this morning, Rachel. And you've been listening to Happy Hour here. We've got another edition coming your way next Sunday, same time. We do it at 7 o'clock every week, so please come back and join us then. For Jonas Spilbore, for Carol Pesci, Rachel Berkman, and also Heather Hansen, it's been a fantastic show this morning. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you all next week. Be good.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonas Spilbore and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 929WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 WBPM.